My name is Maurice Washington. I want to welcome everybody to another episode of Executive Talk. Those that are watching live or those that are watched later, I want to welcome everybody to the show. We are starting a new series right now, Have You Considered the Cost? I want you to process that for one moment. And just off the top of your head, what does that mean to you? How does that jive in your spirit? When you think about have you considered the cost, and especially as you go throughout the day-to-day process of your life, have you considered the cost? What does that statement mean to you? Do you actually think and spend time thinking about that statement and the decisions that you make? There's a 99% chance, and of course, anybody can pull a percentage out of the air. So I'm just going to go with a 99% chance that we go through a lot of our lives very numb. We don't really consider the cost. Now, we may be in that present day where we are considering the cost a lot more aggressively because we've seen our past and we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I made those decisions. And so now you're thinking about those things, but it's very typical for us not to think and consider the cost right there in that specific moment. So let's go ahead and get after it. Now, before we do, I want to ensure that everybody open up your mind and open up your heart. I may be talking about you directly. I may be talking about somebody you know. But don't pass any of this information off. Take it in. See what it might do to help make some changes. We are here at Executive Talk. We're all about growth. And this is part of our spiritual growth, and it's our personal growth right there, front and center. So let's go ahead and get after it and figure out, you know, have you considered the cost and where this all came from? So then, we're going to start with Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So now, just considering that particular scripture, obviously there was no mankind right there. Initially, right from the very jump, God was considering the cost. Notice that mankind was not there. He was thinking about his earth, his development first. He was putting it all together. And so when we look at Genesis, and when we look at the very first parts of it, we're seeing God's creation and everything come together. We're watching everything work in unison. We're watching everything become perfectly made. So that's what we're seeing in Genesis. So let's go ahead and bring up this scripture right here and see what this does for you. In Genesis 1:4-5, and God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Okay? Let's go to Genesis 8 through 10. Genesis 1:8-10. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered into one place, so that the dry land may appear, and it was so. So again, we're watching development. We're watching one thing be developed that leads to the development of something else. In everything God did, he considered the cost of that one first development that led to the next development. That first development could not exist, the second development could not exist without the first development. The third development could not exist without the second development in the first. So in every decision God made and everything that he created, he considered the cost. He understood that this light and day has everything to do with how the waters are going to work. It has everything to do with you calling it day and all of a sudden, and also calling it night. He considered all those costs and everything that he developed. He knew how this process was going to work. And everything worked simultaneously off of each other. So let's keep on going down the pathway. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth itself, and every creature that crawls upon it. So again, God made sure that he considered the cost. Guess who image did he make mankind out of? Did he make it off the enemy's image? No, he made it off of his own. Because he knew his own image would take care of the fish in the sea, and so on and so forth, and know exactly what to do with it in his image. So again, as God is developing and creating, he's becoming more in depth. And by this time in that scripture, he's thinking about mankind. He's already thought about mankind. So one thing that we know about God is he's already thought about things before we even thought about it. He's already thought about creating mankind as he was creating the day and night and the boat in the sky and the waters and so on and so forth. It was all already thought about collectively. It was an order in which he considered to develop it. So again, he considered the cost in developing anything too soon and anything too late. So that's what we're seeing in God's development. So let's go back to scripture. So if we look at Genesis 1:27, this is again where mankind starts to come in. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So pause right there. The image of God, he created him. So again, so God created man in his own image. Those are important factors. This own image has everything to do with God's creation. Has everything to do with how things were going to work. That own image, which is number one, glorifying God. That's the number one part of that own image component of it. There's a glorification that's in there. That when God sees man, he sees himself. He sees the image of himself. He sees the spirit of man right there in both man and also female. That was the condition in which he created them to ensure that, again, when he handed his own authority over to mankind, there was no abuse of it. Okay, he considered the cost, but that image had to be in place first before he handed mankind his authority. So let's go ahead and keep on going down the pathway. And Genesis 2:15 through 17. Once all this stuff was starting to be complete, this is where chapter 2 comes in. Then the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. And the Lord God commanded him, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now, let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and come back to that. And there's another scripture here within Genesis 2:25. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now, in this last scripture here in Genesis 2:15 through 17, he placed him in the Garden of Eden and told him to cultivate it and keep it. This is where the thought process starts to come in, the considering the cost. He was training Adam at that time how to cultivate it, how to take care of it, how to manage everything, how to take what's in you, which is the creation, and to take care of this kingdom. I'm handing my authority over to you to take care of it the same way in which he would, meaning God would. That's an important factor right there. God considered the cost before he took him to the garden to teach him how to take care of it. But he said, you may eat from any other tree in that garden, but you may eat from anything else in this garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So if you eat from it, you will certainly die. Okay, he knew that. Adam was agreed. He understood that. He put Adam asleep. Then he made Eve. So they were both created in the image, but also they had instruction to go with that image. And this is where Genesis 2:2, let's go ahead and bring up the scripture again. Genesis 2:25, and Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Now we move to the point where Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So now we look at this scripture, and this is where everything really starts to come to pass. Remember, there's full authority at that particular time. God trusted them because everything in the image was working. They were both obedient. They both felt no shame. They both were naked. They both were vulnerable. That this God saw his spirit within mankind, both Adam and Eve, the same way that he spoke about in Genesis 1. So then when we come to 3, where now they're left alone, then we're having the enemy come into play. Now, was this on purpose? Absolutely. As I read the Bible, I start to understand this was absolutely on purpose. And the purpose was to see if mankind would reject evil. If mankind would take God's word and reject anything else outside of it. And so when the enemy took God's word and manipulated and altered Eve's vision, and this is why I say that, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it. She took some and ate it. She ate of that tree. She ate of what was against the instruction of the Lord, most importantly. That's what that represents there. Now, God already told them the cost, did he not? He absolutely did. He said, if you eat of that tree, you will certainly die. There was no other reason to have that word manipulated at that time when they were obedient, when they were following the word, and that word was within them. They were naked and they felt no shame, and everything was glorified. Everything was up underneath God's glory. The death in there was the separation between mankind and God. That's what the enemy wanted, but it was a test to make sure Adam and Eve would go through life obedient to his word. Because everything else God created is obedient to his word. And so mankind, which is created, needed to stay obedient to the word. And so when they decide to go against the word and be disobedient, they died. And so now we see what the cost is. Let's go ahead and go to this next scripture here. When we look at Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the first time they ever felt shame. This is the first time they ever felt shame. This is the first time they've ever made a decision on their own. Because they decided to pay the cost, they started to have to live a lifestyle of their own. When they changed the lifestyle of their own, the first thing that they did is they felt shame. The second thing that happened is they created coverings for themselves. They stopped becoming vulnerable. They hid their spirit. They hid their vulnerability away from each other. They actually disliked each other. You can hear the conversation in the garden. Eve, who did she blame? She didn't blame herself, did she? No, she blamed the enemy over there, which is true, but she never took accountability for being disobedient to God's word. Doesn't matter who comes your way. God's word said this. That's what that moment is. Who did Adam blame? Hey, this woman that you made for me, I was doing this fine, but she told me. But again, what's the central core? Doesn't matter what she did. Doesn't matter what the enemy did. What did you do, Adam? You did not obey God's word. And so they both fell. They both paid and considered. They did not consider the cost, even though the cost was told to them very plainly. That's where we are, time and space. And that's what we see in the garden. So now let's go ahead and bring it back to present day. I wanted to create a little bit of framework to make everything make sense for you. So when we talk about this topic, you can understand. And let's talk about the husband and wife. Today's husband and wife has absolutely changed, has it not? It is no longer what it should have been, because in the garden, it has become that place where in the garden was that moment of where we were supposed to see what the covenant was supposed to be about. But even in the covenant, it was broken. And what we're seeing in the covenants of husband and wives is the covenant is still broken. Why? Because both parties are under covenant, but both parties have created their own law. they were not following the guidance in which God has already provided for married couples to already be in. So we're watching death in real time. Now let's go ahead and bring it back a little bit. So now when you think about when that woman was a little child and that man was a little child, the only thing that you thought about was, I cannot wait to get married. You did not consider the cost. You just knew that when you get married, you're going to have kids, you're going to have a couple of cars, you're going to live in a nice house, you're going to travel. And this was your vision since day one. You didn't consider any other costs. You said, well, we're going to have a little bit of trouble here and there, and, you know, but we'll get through it and love will be there and we'll die and go back to heaven. Typically, that's how we have planned out and how we have created the vision as to what marriage will look like in our earlier stages of life. But once we get together, once we live that day-to-day life, it's a whole nother monster, isn't it? You're like, I did not see this happening. What are you doing? No, what are you doing? Are you going to do this? Are you, right? That's all conflict. That's all death. Because typically we have not done the right things personally before we come into the entity. And the entity is not marriage. Here on earth, it's marriage. But in the spiritual realm, it's a covenant, isn't it? It's two different things. It means a whole heck of a lot more. The two of you have become one flesh. But men and women are not thinking about it from that perspective. They're thinking about it, oh, I'll just go ahead and get married. I want things now. And so you're not really considering the cost when you come to the table. And typically what we're seeing is the fruits of it, which is divorce. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing remarriages left and right. This is a cost in which disobedience pays itself and is duplicating itself in real time. So again, that's why I bring up scripture all the time, just to make sure we all are reminded this is not a foreign experience. God has already pre-warned us about what will happen when we eat of that tree. And when we disobey him, it's still replicating that moment of eating of the tree. So now, let's go ahead and consider this. The family setting. Now, this is two boys, two girls, what have you, right? Husband, wife, a couple of kids. Let's just put it to you in that perspective. Why is that so important? Because the kids are watching you in real time, seeing how you pay the cost. Seeing if you're disobedient, just like you told them not to be. So when kids see you paying the cost and being willing to consider the cost and still do it anyway, they say, oh, you know, they're watching you not correct yourself. They're watching you on discipline. And guess what they think adulthood is? You can live as on discipline as you want. You can always get through it. So now we see a pattern of disobedience. We see a pattern of not really considering the costs and things that you're doing. As everybody knows, this is no foreign exchange. Have you ever said something in the household one day, and then 2 days later, you hear your kids say it? They're watching everything. They're listening to everything. They're soaking up everything. We're all sponges. Even at whatever age you are, as you're watching this show, you're still a sponge. You're still collecting data, information, things that you never knew about or witnessed before. Again, we're all children of God, so we're all going to still be in that perspective, no matter how old you are. But in this family setting, this is the pattern in which the enemy is looking to creep into our households. But also, this is the pattern in which God would love for us to realize and show us how it's creeping into our households. Those things that you're doing to your husband, ma'am, those things are going into your daughter. They're going into your son. They are realizing something. Paying the cost and how you act towards that is paying its dividends. It's growing. How you're treating your wife, sir, is growing. It is showing up in the household. The daughter's watching. The son's watching. Both sons are watching. Both daughters are watching. Or however many kids you have. Everybody sees it. And how do you know? Wait until they become get their own opportunity. They will duplicate the cost that you're willing to pay right in front of them. Yes, we're getting after it right now. So let's go ahead and bring this in, and let's go ahead and put our minds around this, because again, this is the first part of it, but we're going to talk about it more. But let's go ahead and stay on track. And every choice you make, the cost is embedded in it. In every choice you make, the cost is embedded. Now, why do I say that? Again, how did God create things? In the beginning, the bowl was empty. Okay? He created the night and day. So in this time frame, there was a cost that was embedded in that emptiness. The cost is always embedded in every decision that's made, and it always manifests itself. Again, God's creation in the 7 days manifested itself. It went from the empty bolts to now a full operating system with mankind involved in it as well. Everything needs each other. We depend on it, all depends on each other. That's how that works. So again, in every choice that you make, there's a cost embedded into it. And if everybody remembers, if everybody has had this experience with this, with the childhood book, it's one of those books you open up. And if you turn to page 55, you go to this direction. If you turn to page 32, you go this direction. And one of those pages is going to lead you to the right way. So that's how everybody gets nervous about life, is because there's cost embedded in your choice. You're trying to figure out, man, I've made some bad choices. That was the cost you're willing to pay making that bad choice. So it gets you to the point where you get nervous about even making choices the next day. You get extra fidgety, for the lack of better terms, because you don't trust what's happening because of the choices that you made and the costs that you've been paying based off those choices. So then we look at this here. There's an emotional, mental, and most importantly, a spiritual cost to everything. Let's run that back one more time. There's an emotional, mental, and most importantly, a spiritual cost to everything. Why is that so important? Because those are three major items that God has to repair when you keep on making bad choices over and over again, when you keep on paying the cost over and over again. And half the time that you're paying the cost, you're deferring it because you're like, oh, that's okay, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine until you actually deal with it. It's fine until you come into repentance. Then you actually realize it was not fine whatsoever. It messed up your mental, emotional, and also your spiritual life. It was a savage moment. And again, you can continuously live your whole life having this type of lifestyle. But again, you will pay the cost eventually. You'll pay the cost in the moment, and you'll pay the cost in the future. Here's something else that we learned about. And again, I just mentioned it. The cost is paid in the moment. There is no time. The cost is never delayed. Everything has to come to pass, because you're created beings. And so if you're not understanding the fact that you have the ability to create, and that everything you do is based on your creation, because again, whose image are you in? You're in God's image. And what did he do in the very beginning? He created. He's a creator, the creator. And in that image, and also in that authority, in that ability, you have the ability to create your own stuff. So you're going to do the same thing. God's importance within lifetime and reading the Bible and getting attached to his word is teaching you that lesson. You are more powerful than you think. When people say that you're more powerful than you think, it's because of that creation that you have. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the ability that you have to create and the type of emotions and things that you're able to create even in other people's lives. Here's something else we learned about this. Freedom provokes you to override long-term cost. This is what makes life freedom or life dangerous. Freedom provokes you to override long-term cost. Meaning, if you want to do something right now, you're like, don't worry about it. But let's say you're free, and it's always the easiest when you're free not to work out. Realizing that after 21, it's about the time frame when your body starts to go into the decline. There's no more appreciation. You had your best years of appreciation as far as bodily growth and structure, and you can eat what you want, and it's like nothing ever happened, and you're, you know, spring back into whatever shape you're in. Well, go ahead and do that after 21 and see. Everybody knows how hard it is to maintain your body. Why? Because you're running smack dead into death at some point. That's the trajectory that you're in after 21. Now, the body, you know, you're fighting up against a force. Now, again, freedom tells you, you don't have to work out. You don't have to do these things. And this is very true. But you pay the cost physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and start doubting yourself. And again, that's maybe a poor example, but everybody understands exactly where I'm going with it. That's one circumstance. But imagine how many other choices you made in your lifetime that almost got you in some serious, serious trouble. Yeah, you paid the cost, but you also paid the memory of that cost. You can still think about it right now. That cost is still being paid. The fact that you have to think about certain things that you didn't, that you weren't even, that God told you not to even, that you, God would not even put you in that position to think about those things. So then let's go ahead and think about this last one here. If you cheapen anything, you will eventually pay the full cost. Eventually, you will pay the full cost. See, one thing about what we recognize about life is people move very fast nowadays, don't we? We move very fast. And in that speed, you end up cheapening stuff to try to hurry up and move forward. The relationships and time that you do things, you typically cheapen it. You will eventually pay the full cost. Now here goes, again, for lack of better examples. Let's say I buy a cheap table. Everybody has purchased something cheap before in their life. Everybody has. Let's be transparent here. Eventually, what did you end up doing? Eventually, you looked at that table one day, 4 or 5 years later, and guess what? It's lasted for quite some time. You're fine. You're starting to see chips in it. You're starting to see certain things fall apart. It's not as stable. It's wobbly now. Again, at that moment, it paid its cost. It was perfect for your budget or whatever. You just wanted to hurry up and get it in. Well, now what cost are you paying? Now you're not paying a spiritual cost based off of getting this table. Let me be very clear. We all know that. But you are paying the emotional cost, right? You're like, I just like this table. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to get rid of it. I don't even want to see it anymore. It's frustrating you. It's mentally, you're paying that cost. You cheapen something in the beginning, and typically when we're in disobedience, we cheapen everything. That is how that works. This can be relationships. This can be people. This can be your relationship with your son, become a relationship with your daughter, relationship with your spouse, what have you. Now, what are we doing in this show? Are we talking personal? Absolutely. Are we talking business? Absolutely. Because at some point, you bring this character into the business world. At some point, you bring this character with you to people that you work with. At some point, you bring this personality and these characteristics to your clients. People end up paying the cost of the cost that you haven't paid or that you're paying right now. So again, we're going to talk about in the next show, we're going to talk about how the enemy influences your life and influence those that are in this disobedience place. But in the meantime, executive talk, we all have to get back to work. You guys have a great day. We'll see you next week.